Your BBC News for Oxfordshire comes from Danny Cox.
There's concern among some councillors in Oxfordshire over new government rules granting members of the public the right to film meetings and post the videos online. A 72-hour humanitarian ceasefire between Israel and Hamas is underway in Gaza. The truce, which began an hour ago, was announced last night by the UN Secretary-General Ban Ki-moon and the US Secretary of State John Kerry. The pause in hostilities follows 24 days of fighting, in which almost 1,500 people have died, the vast majority of them Palestinian civilians. Our correspondent Nick Bryant reports from the United Nations in New York.
After days seemingly...
This morning, Oxfordshire's commemorating 70 years since the D-Day landings, the biggest seaborne invasion and largest military campaign the world had ever seen. More than 300,000 troops, 54,000 vehicles and 100,000 tons of supplies had been landed on the beaches.
We shall fight in France.
That's how it was reported at the time in 1944. None of the bombers, the boats, or the men could have landed in Normandy if it wasn't for the work of the Oxfordshire and Buckinghamshire Light Infantry. In the dead of night, six gliders from RAF Brize Norton flew into France and captured two vital bridges to stop German forces getting to the Normandy beaches. Titch Rayner was on board one of the gliders. He was a platoon sergeant with the 2nd Battalion of the Oxfordshire and Buckinghamshire Light Infantry.
We knew we was going to take
the fish.
So we were hearing there about the heroics of airmen from RAF Brize Norton. Let's move down to RAF Benson now. Reconnaissance work done by airmen there before D-Day is thought to have saved thousands of lives. Peter Fahey now lives in Farringdon, and during World War II, he was one of those pilots who took aerial pictures of enemy targets in the run-up to D-Day.
The cameras we had had a 36.
Now, the number of years in prison handed out to those convicted as part of an investigation into sexual exploitation in Oxford has now reached 100. Two men were jailed yesterday in connection with the sexual abuse of a pregnant teenager in Oxford. BBC Radio Oxford's Paul Jenner has been following the story. Paul, one of those people convicted yesterday had already been sentenced last year.
That's right, 28-year-old Zisha.
Be assured of our support.
Paul, what was the reaction to the verdicts in court?
Well, the jury took about 7 hours.
Now, these convictions were as a result of Operation Bullfinch, which continues to investigate the Oxford child sex ring. These convictions mark quite a milestone.
Yes, they do. And for legal reasons, we...
Paul Jenner, thank you for the update this morning. Well, Caroline Lennartsen is from OxCat, one of the charities involved with tackling sexual exploitation in Oxfordshire. She joins us this morning. Caroline, what's your reaction to this news?
Well, good morning. I think it's fantastic that the ongoing...
Good morning. It's 7 minutes past 8. I'm Danny Cox here at BBC Radio Oxford. This morning, we're hearing there have been 4 fires in Banbury in the early hours of this morning. Thames Valley Police say they were all started deliberately. BBC Radio Oxford's Serena Martin is on Banbury High Street for us this morning. What can you see and what do you know of what happened there this morning?
Morning, Danny. Well, there's lots of gasps of disbelief.
Now, one of the first people on the scene was station manager Brian Butler from Oxfordshire County Council Fire and Rescue. He told me what it's like dealing with fires that are started deliberately.
Extreme.
Now, coming up after 9, I'll talk to a man from Abingdon who was in Tiananmen Square 25 years ago this week. That was when the Chinese authorities cracked down on student protests.
The noise of gunfire rose from all over the centre of Peking.
We saw much of this developing on television. That was Kate Adie in Tiananmen Square in 1989. Another person who was there in person was Rupert Attlee. He's now a teacher at Cotthill School in Abingdon. He joins me live this morning. What were you doing there 25 years ago?
We wanted to go to Tiananmen Square in particular because we've seen a lot of the demonstrations taking place.
So you knew the demonstrations were happening?
Absolutely. And we'd been in Hong Kong before that.
Were you not afraid for your own safety?
I was, and we were shot at. While we were taking photos on the top of the tank, we were shot at, and the ping of the bullet went straight over the top of my head and hit the metal of the tank, but just behind. But at 25, you think you're immortal.
Welcome to this special programme in the middle of the night as we mark a little piece of Oxfordshire history. The landscape of our county will be redrawn this morning as an iconic landmark is demolished. The cooling towers of Didcot A Power Station have been a symbol of the town for a couple of generations now. For many, they are the dreaming spires of Didcot. This morning, the 3 most southerly towers will be demolished in a massive controlled explosion. Now, despite warnings from the contractors to stay away, many have gathered on hilltops and parks, on driveways and golf clubs to try and get the best view. But surely none better
than my view. I'm about 500 yards from the towers. I'm joined by reporters across South Oxfordshire, all with a different view on this historic night. Let's move about, I guess, a mile or two east of the power station and join Phil Mercer. Phil is at Appleford. Phil, what kind of a view have you got from there?
Hi, Danny.
Let's move to another one of what was expected to be one of the big viewing areas just west of the town. Alison Dawes is at Great Western Park.
I am indeed, Danny. Very good morning.
This is the iconic moment that the three southern towers of Didcot A are going to be blown down. They twisted, they tumbled, they fell. The three southern cooling towers of Didcot A are gone.
Sport.
Well, it's the perfect antidote to a day of dodgy weather. It's a summer Saturday in Oxfordshire, but with football too. Oxford United travel to Didcot for their pre-season friendly as we get ever closer to the new season. We'll bring you full live commentary from three. It's all change at the top. New chief executive Mark Ashton outlines his plans for the U's.
I think it's a club that's just filled with potential. Yes, at this moment in time we're sitting in League Two, but I think the world is the oyster for the football club. I think it's something that we want to help develop. Help develop over a period of time and build it properly and build something that's sustainable for the future.
We'll hear more from Mark Ashton coming up. Also, we'll be hearing from a rough and tough 6'7" Canadian who's just become Oxford City Stars' first summer signing. Kyle Flemington plans to bring the North American ice hockey style to the English League, and he says he won't compromise now he's arrived in the UK.
I'm not going to change my game over here. I'm going to be a physical presence and stick up for my teammates when need be. You know, I'm looking forward to the challenge that we face ahead of us. It's going to be a fun year.
We'll be keeping up with all the action from the 143rd Open Golf Championship at Hoylake. We're at Lord's for the second test against India. And we'll bring you all the action from qualifying at the German Grand Prix and the latest on Lewis Hamilton's accident just minutes ago. All that plus the latest from the Oxford United's women's camp. It's all between now and 6 o'clock.
BBC Radio Oxford. Sport.